Chapter 12. We've been in Hebrews 11 for the last few weeks. We're learning about a life that pleases God all through Hebrews 11. A life that pleases God. By faith, the men of old gained approval. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so we've spent the last few weeks learning about the life of faith. The life that pleases God is a life of faith. And now that brings us to chapter 12. So in light of this hall of fame of faith, the saints of old who by faith gained God's approval, who by faith pleased the Lord, they're in the honor roll of faith and all that we've learned over the last few weeks. That brings us to Hebrews 12. And by the way, you know that the chapter and verse divisions in your Bible, they are not original to the Bible. They are not inspired, as it were. They were added much later for ease of reference and location. And so when the writer of this letter wrote his letter, he wrote it just like you do. You don't stop and say chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 2. He didn't do that either. So this is a it's a flow of thought that goes from one into the other. So in light of chapter 11, all that we've been seeing, the life that pleases God, the honor roll of faith, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So in this series, A Life That Pleases God, now we want to learn how to run the race. Run the race with endurance. In the language of the New Testament, verses 1 and 2 are one big sentence, one big convoluted, complex sentence. But the main verb is let us run. That's the verb in that singular sentence. Let us run. The main idea is let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, on your outline, I've defined a couple of terms for you because this will help us to kind of parse out what we're talking about this morning. First of all is that word race. Let us run the race that is set before us. Now, that word race is the word from which we get our word agony from, or to agonize. And in some contexts, that word race is an athletic contest. It is a race, if you will. In other contexts, it is a fight, a struggle, a contest that involves a struggle. Now here, when it's paired with a verb that says let us run, it's obviously a race. Let us run a race, and it's a race that may actually involve a struggle as well. Now, you can imagine the writer here, he's not talking about running a foot race. He's talking about the Christian life. This race is a metaphor for the Christian life. We want to follow Christ. We want to live the Christian life. We want to live a life that pleases God and run it with endurance. Live that life with faithfulness. That's the big idea. Well, let us run. That's the main verb. Let us run this race with endurance. That's the main idea. But then the key word in this passage is endurance. That's the key word. It shows up four times. And verse 1, let us run with endurance. And verse 2, Jesus endured the cross. Then in verse 3, Jesus endured the hostility of sinners. And in verse 7, we'll see next week, it is for discipline that you endure. And then in chapter 10 and verse 36, he says, you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Okay, so we have race. Now let's talk about endurance for just a moment. What is endurance? Well, as you can imagine, endurance is holding up under or in the face of difficulty. Holding up, standing strong in the face of difficulty. Or fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance, that's endurance. So the main idea is that we're to run the race, live the Christian life that is set before us with endurance, bearing up faithfully in the face of hardship, difficulty, persecution, no matter what happens, I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to maintain. I want to stand strong, persevere, and be steadfast. Now, the good news is, not only does the writer challenge us, stand strong in the face of difficulty, hardship, persecution, be faithful. Not only does he challenge us to run the race with endurance, he's also going to show us how. Aren't you glad? I don't just need to be told what to do. Show me how to do it. So how can I run the race with endurance? How can I be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? How can I be strong in the face of hardship, difficulty, challenges, or persecution? He's going to show us. So again, let's go back to the grammar of this crazy verse, this crazy sentence. The main verb, let us run. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. And then there are three participial phrases. So we don't have four commands. We have one command. Let us run with endurance. And then we have four phrases that describe running with endurance. So that kind of helps us to understand where the writer is thinking. So how do we run with endurance? Well, let's break it down in these three phrases. First of all, listen to the witnesses. We listen to the witnesses. Therefore, in light of all that we've seen in chapter 11, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside. So we have so great a cloud of witnesses. The first participle is literally having. Having such a great cloud of witnesses. Since having such a great cloud of witnesses, these heroes of the faith in chapter 11, let us be faithful. Let's run the race with endurance. All these folks that we've talked about for the last few weeks, all these people in Hebrews 11 who walked by faith, they pleased God, they walked with God, they believed without seeing, they obeyed without understanding, they trusted God regardless of the immediate outcome. All these heroes of the faith and the life of faith that they lived, since we have that great cloud of witnesses, we ought to be encouraged and challenged and equipped to run our race with endurance. So the writer is trying to help us. Here's how you run the race with endurance. You have such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? Well, again, they're the heroes of chapter 11. Now, what does it mean that they are witnesses? One very common interpretation, you'll see this three times out of four, a very common interpretation is that these saints and others who have preceded us in death, they're in the grandstands of heaven and they're looking down on us. They are our witnesses. They're watching us. And so these saints of old, including your loved ones and your dead grandmother and everybody else, they're up there in heaven and they're watching you run. They've run their race. Their heat is over. And now they're in the stands and they're watching us and they're cheering us on. And you sure don't want to disappoint old grandma, do you? So you ought to be faithful. So since they're watching, be good and be faithful and run the race with endurance. That's a very common rendering, very common interpretation. And it stirs up a lot of warm sentiments. Aw, grandmother's watching me, you know. It stirs up sentiments and it might even make some pretty dramatic preaching. But I'm not sure that's a real good Bible. There's nothing in the Bible to suggest that the saints in heaven are watching us. Now, maybe they are. And when I get there, I'll be watching you, so be good. Maybe they are. We'll find out one day. But the Bible doesn't tell us. They're watching us. There's a lot more evidence in the Scriptures to indicate that the folks in heaven are interested in what's going on in heaven. Especially what's going on around the throne of God. That's what captures the attention and the focus of heaven. So maybe they're watching us, maybe they're not. I don't know. But we do know the Bible never tells us that we're to pray to the dead. In fact, that's forbidden. We're not to pray to the dead. We're not to ask the saints for help. And what we learned in all of chapter 11 is we don't live for the saints' approval. Dead or alive. We're not here to make people happy, dead or alive. We want his approval. by faith, the men of old gained approval. Whose approval? The Lord's approval. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So our focus, I'm not trying to please dear old departed grandma or whoever might be watching. I'm not here to please them, entertain them. I'm here to please the Lord. I want the Lord's approval. That's our focus. So having such a great cloud of witnesses, we want to be faithful. So I would, I hang my hat with those other scholars who would say the witnesses here, again, same witnesses, chapter 11, these witnesses are not witnesses of our faithfulness, they're witnesses of God's faithfulness. What is a witness? A witness is someone who has seen something or experienced something and they can tell you about it. That's a witness. They can testify. They have a testimony. So these witnesses, what we have in chapter 11, remember this is all one line of thought. It's one letter and it all goes together. These witnesses, these people who walked by faith, gained God's approval, lived a life of faith, who believed without seeing, who obeyed without understanding, all the rest, these people testify not of our faithfulness, but of God's faithfulness. They have a testimony. And if you ask them, they could tell you, listen, you can trust God. You can believe it without seeing it. You can give even if you think you can't afford it. You can obey without understanding. You live for the future, not for the immediate. The life of faith is worth it. Walk by faith, not by sight. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. So they are witnesses, not of our faithfulness, not how good a job we're doing. They can testify to God's faithfulness. And since you have such a great cloud of witnesses, and not just the folks in chapter 11, but the history of the church, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, you can run with endurance the race that is set before you. You can face the good times. You can face the bad times. You can face difficulty and hardship in faith. You can face persecution in faith. And remember, that's the big idea of this whole section. Our writer here is encouraging Christians who are taking the heat for following Christ. In chapter 10, he reminds them, you've been through this before. You've been persecuted before and you stood strong. I know you're going through it now. Stay strong. That's why this chapter is here. That's why chapter 11 and chapter 12 are here. Stay strong. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Listen to them. God is faithful. Walk by faith, not by sight. So run with endurance the race, the life that is set before you, because God is faithful. Just ask the witnesses. And then number two, second participle is lay aside. Laying aside. So since, or having, so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. So laying aside, that word laying aside is taking off, kind of like taking off clothes. You take them off and you set them down. You lay them aside. You put something down. So if we're going to run the race with endurance, there are some things that we need to take off and put down. We need to lay them aside, get them off and put them to the side. What do we need to get rid of? One, stuff that encumbers. Let's lay aside stuff that encumbers. Lay aside every encumbrance. That word encumbrance describes something that keeps you from doing something. It's an encumbrance. It's an obstacle. It's a hindrance. Something that prevents you from doing what you want to be doing. So let's lay aside. Now in the analogy of a race, you don't want to lay aside the extra weight. Weight is an impediment to running effectively. Lay aside the weight. Now, that might be extra physical weight. Heavy people like me tend not to do great in running competitions and running races. You got to lay aside the weight. And if you've ever seen professional runners, marathon runners, man, they are skin and bones. They are skinny. There's not a bit of extra weight on them that helps them in the race. But not only physical weight, but any other kind of weight. You don't run a race in combat boots or in heavy jeans. You don't wear a backpack. You don't wear a helmet. No, lighter is faster. So they wear the lightest clothing they can find and because lighter is better. Now, again, we're not talking about running a literal foot race. We're talking about the Christian life. And then the Christian life, we need to lay aside anything that is impeding a walk with Christ. Anything that's an obstacle to you walking with the Lord, putting your faith in the Lord, pleasing the Lord, running the race with endurance, anything that's slowing you down, weighing you down, or distracting you, you're better off getting rid of it. Lay it aside. Now, obviously, bad habits can get in the way. You ought to lay them aside. Bad relationships can slow you down, get in the way, get you distracted. Lay them aside. But many times in the Christian life, it's not bad things that impede us. It can be good things. And many times in our lives, the choice is not between good and bad. Sometimes we need to choose between what's good and what's best. And that's harder. Getting rid of the bad stuff, that's kind of easy. But getting rid of good stuff, that can be hard. For example, maybe what's weighing you down, maybe the encumbrance that's slowing you down in a walk of faith, walking with the Lord, running with endurance the race set before you, maybe it's your schedule. Maybe it is overcommitments. Good things in and of themselves. You're a member of this league and that lodge and that organization, and you're on this board and you're committed to this and that, and they can all be good causes in and of themselves, but put together, they impede your walk with the Lord. You don't have time for your walk with the Lord. You're overcommitted. You don't have time to be in church or to serve the Lord or make disciples. You don't have time to be with your family because you're out here doing all these good and wonderful things. That's choosing between good and the best. Lay aside every encumbrance. It can be leisure and entertainment. That can encumber us. It can be fishing and golfing and hunting and hiking and camping and who knows, whatever else. Nothing wrong with those things unless they keep you from walking with the Lord. They keep you from being in God's house. They keep you from serving the Lord. They keep you from being with your family. Don't be like the man who told his wife, "Honey, is there anything you want to say to me before football season begins?" Don't be like that. Again, nothing wrong with those things until the good replaces the best. It could be entertainment. It could be TV, Facebook. It could be your gym, how much time you spend at the gym. Again, all good things. Nothing wrong with them. Well, except Facebook. Other than that, nothing wrong with those things except when the good replaces the best. Lay aside every encumbrance, anything that hinders you from walking with God and running with endurance the race that is set before you. And then we also need to lay aside the sin that entangles. Let us lay aside, take off, and put down every encumbrance, these impediments, and the sin which so easily entangles us. Now, any sin is a problem. And as Christians, we want to pursue personal holiness. We want to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We want to be holy even as He is holy. We want to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. So any sin is a problem. But here in the original language, there is a definite article. It is the sin. Let's lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us. And in the broader context of Hebrews, the sin is the sin of unbelief. That's the mother of all sin in this letter. The sin of unbelief, faithlessness, shrinking back. That's the main sin in view of the whole letter. Perhaps that's what he's talking about here. Make sure you put off this sin of unbelief and faithlessness. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. So, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Listen to the witnesses. Two, need to lose the weight. Stuff that encumbers, that it slows you down, that impedes you. The sin that entangles. And then look at Jesus. How do we run this race with endurance that has been set before us? We look at Jesus. Verse 2, fixing our eyes. Here's our third participle. Fixing our eyes, or participial phrase. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That means you direct your gaze on Him without distraction. It can mean to gaze upon trustingly. It also has the idea of gaining a more precise knowledge of something. The idea to fix your eyes on something. And that's what we need to do. We need to fix our gaze on Jesus Christ without distraction. We need to gaze upon Him trustingly the life of faith, all of chapter 11, and we need to look to him and want to gain a more thorough knowledge, more precise knowledge of who he is and what he has done. Now, why? Why do we need to fix our eyes on Jesus? Well, several reasons. One, he is the model of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, or finisher of faith. He is the model of faith. That word author, that's a different kind of a word. He is the author of faith. The word author in military terms speaks of an advance team, a scout, someone doing reconnaissance. So someone who goes ahead of the main force and finds the way and leads the way with the idea everyone else is going to come behind. And then interesting, Jesus invited people to follow me. He is the leader. He's the model of faith. Get behind him and follow him. Follow his example. Follow his direction. And then he is the finisher. Oh, by the way, in nautical terms, that word author is a forerunner. And in nautical terms, or in the Navy, something like that, a forerunner, when a ship came into a port somewhere, you know, a cove or a bay, a forerunner would jump ship and he would take a rope onto shore. And that's how they would anchor the ship. He led the way. Again, he goes first. Jesus is our leader, our author, our scout, our forerunner. He goes in front, you get behind. Follow Jesus. And then he is the finisher of our faith as well, the perfecter of our faith. One day he'll bring our faith in him to a successful and ultimate completed state in our glorification. We'll see him as he is and we'll be made like him. And everything that we have believed and hoped for will be manifest in our very eyes and in our existence. Well, he's the model of faith. He's also the model of focus. Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? Well, he, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the example of a proper perspective. Someone who didn't go for the short term, but went for the long term. We talked about this before. In the garden, Jesus wasn't excited about going to the cross. He didn't look forward to it. He dreaded it. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." In other words, I don't want to do this. Can we do something else? I don't want to do this. I don't want to be made sin for the world. I don't want to bear the sins of the world. I don't want to be the propitiation for the world's sins. Lord, can we do something else? The answer was no. This is the only way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the cross was the Father's will. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Despising meaning to think little of it. Look on it with contempt, disregard. He endured the cross. He went through the cross knowing that on the other side there would be a resurrection and glory and salvation, and joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame. That's the perspective we need to have. Follow his example. When you're hurting, when you're scared, when things are going wrong, that tends to be what we focus on. That captures our attention. But we have to look past that. And it's not just about the immediate reward or the immediate relief or an immediate result. We have to take that long view. One day there's going to be a judgment day. One day I want to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm laying up treasures in heaven." I want to hear him say, "Great is your reward. You were faithful with a few things. Here, I'm going to put you in charge of many things." We live for that long view, not for the immediate result or immediate relief or immediate outcome. Jesus is the example. He endured the cross, despising its shame, for the joy set before him. And now he is sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. That's part of the joy set before him. Well, let's keep going. He's also the model of faithfulness. In verse 3, "For consider him," consider Jesus. That is to reason with careful deliberation. Study Jesus. Think about him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is the model of faithfulness. He endured the hostility of sinners. He didn't shrink back. He didn't cower. He didn't compromise. He didn't hide. He endured with perseverance. He ran the race set before him with endurance. So you run with endurance and do not grow weary. You just be like Jesus. Follow his example. He is the model of faithfulness. We can run the race with endurance. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, let us run. That's the main verb. Main point, let us run with endurance. God has set before you the Christian life. Live it with endurance. A life of faith. I want to be pleasing to him. I want to gain his approval. I don't need to earn his love. He already loves me. I'm not going to earn salvation. That's God's gift. But I do want to gain his approval. I want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That means walking a life of faith. And that means running the race with endurance that he sets before me. Whatever that's going to involve, whatever it entails. And when the world is hostile, know that it hated him before it hated you. And it hates you because it still hates him. Run with endurance set before you. Listen to the witnesses. God is faithful. The life of faith is worth it. It's reasonable and it's worth it. Listen to the witnesses. Make sure you lose the weight. Lay aside those things that slow you down, hinder you, distract you. Get rid of the extra weight. Get rid of the sin that so easily entangles. And then gaze upon Jesus Christ. What I want you to hear is that the Christian life is so much more than just going to church or being a good person or better than most or believing certain doctrines or going through certain rituals. The Christian life is about knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him, loving him, and trusting him. Chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the Christian life. We follow his example. We follow his direction. We follow Jesus Christ. Run with race. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. My friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been saved? Do you have that relationship with him? Again, it's not just going to church however often you go to church. It's not just all these churchy things. But it is to have a dynamic, vital, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that shapes and defines your entire life. That's what it means to be saved. Do you know him? If not, if you're not sure, if you want to know him, we'd invite you to come to him even today. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing our hymn of decision. I'll be right here. I invite you to come to me and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I want to be saved," however you want to say it. We'd love to talk with you privately and pray with you. And you could leave here today, child of God, and embark on the greatest adventure you'll ever know. And that is a walk with Jesus Christ. We invite you to come. Maybe there's some other decision God is laying in your heart. Maybe it's to join the church. We can talk about that. Or to follow him in baptism. We can talk about that. If you need to pray with somebody, we can talk about that. Or pray with you as well. So we invite you to come. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these powerful, powerful chapters here in the book of Hebrews. The honor roll of faith. God, we thank you that we have these great cloud of witnesses who testify to your faithfulness, to the life of faith, that's the way to live. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the model of faith. Help us to fix our eyes on him first and foremost. Help us to live for your approval, not man's approval. God, just seal this message to our hearts. And for the one who's never been saved, help them to hear they must be born again. They need Jesus Christ. Not church and religion, but they need Jesus Christ. Lord, bring them to your Son even now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.